everyone. It's 1:30 p.m. Please make your way to your chairs. It's 1:30. Thank you. Welcome to session 3 already. Clive and Matthew, are we sorted?
Stream's up.
Great. All right. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. Wasn't that a great music? That was absolutely super. They meant to ask you not to record. We did turn off the Zoom and the stream, but I'm asked to remind you, if you did record, to please do not share it. Okay? Is the door open, or are the people chatting at the other end of the room? Ah, thank you. That's really distracting. Okay. Thanks very much. Okay. Any other housekeeping details that we need to talk about before we get into our country reports? No. Okay. So, this afternoon, we're going to hear from all of our member countries, or most of them. And one of the things, when you are telling us about what's going on in your country, if you're doing anything for the 200th anniversary of Braille, would you tell us about that, please? So, let's start with Australia.
Do you want me to come there, Judy?
You may do whichever you wish. You can speak from your table, or you can come up here, whichever you prefer.
Probably do that, and then I'll face some people.
Yeah, good. Okay. Come towards me. There you go. You perfect. Just right around.
Apologies. Good afternoon. What I'd like to do, this is Geordie Howell, I'm Australia's representative to ICEB, the immediate past chair of the Australian Braille Authority, and the current chair of the ICEB Music Committee. So what I thought I would do is talk a bit about the Australian Braille Authority, what we do and what we've been up to since the last General Assembly, and then give you some highlights from our member organisations. And some camps and some other initiatives that are going on. So now under the leadership of Tristan Clare, the Australian Braille Authority continues to promote Braille through activities run by regional Braille forums and affiliated groups. The ABA held its elections in 2023, and I completed my third term as chair. And since the 7th General Assembly of ICEB, we have farewelled some long-standing members of the executive, which include Josie Howes, who's happily with us today, Kathy Reeson, and Leona Holloway, who is also here. We welcomed our incoming chair, Tristan Clare, as well as some new members to our executive. Tristan works as a Braille transcriber and proofreader for Next Sense, and she brings a detailed knowledge of UEB, Braille maths and language to her ABA executive, to the ABA executive, and is a very ABA is in very capable hands under Tristan's leadership. ABA has run various workshops at roundtable conferences over the past 4 years. Topics have included music transcription, options for users and transcribers, foreign language guidelines, Braille in First Nations languages, and Braille and its relevance in the age of technology. And there's a little item here, Braille bombing. So in early 2022, a number of Braille users and members of the public who wished to learn about Braille congregated at Knowledge Week, a Knowledge Week display in the city of Melbourne. And this was a joint initiative of the Monash University Inclusive Technology Group and ABA. And this event was run by Leona Holloway. So after a brief description of the activity, 3D slate and styluses were provided to participants, and they were shown how to make labels, which were then placed on signs around the city. And the event attracted a lot of media attention, and it calls for other states to replicate this. And so many people were in, you know, in council or in places that needed to think about signage, and they were sort of in attendance. And some people just wanted a fun day out. And in December 2022, this event was replicated in New South Wales as well. ABA has regional Braille forums, which is groups of interested people. We only have one active forum at the moment in New South Wales, operating in Sydney, because sadly the Queensland Braille Forum is currently in recess. I guess, you know, COVID did a lot of things, and that was one of them. It's the Queensland's well-known Braille Club, though, for students. For students conducted some fantastic activities, including a visit to the Queensland show in 2022, in using Braille maps to get around, and some online events, which was when it was harder to meet in person. And Sydney's Regional Braille Forum enables members interested in the production, in the teaching or use of Braille to come together and promote Braille, to discuss Braille-related issues. And although in 2020 meetings were not held in person, they included a number of Zoom events. They've held awards nights every November, and they have a marking committee for those children's stories that consists of Braille users, which is nice to have the touch reader element there. Sorry, I'm just flicking through things here. So ABA publications, we would like to publicise two new publications that we've published since the 7th General Assembly. So the Australian Braille Authority Guidelines for Foreign Language Materials are a series of documents providing advice on how to apply the UEB rules for foreign language material, particularly with Duxbury. This is ABA's newest publication. And initiated by Kathy Reeson, with feedback and input from transcribers and material producers. We also have just launched the Guidelines for Transcription of Chinese Braille in UEB. This was a collaboration between transcribers nationally, and we just launched it at the May Roundtable Conference last week. To accreditation now. So ABA runs, and New Zealand, we jointly run the annual Trans-Tasman Proficiency Certificate Examination in Unified English Braille. And in the past 4 years, it's run in the first 2 weeks of October each year, and it's made up of three sections. So we have a proofreading passage, a translation from print to Braille, and a translation from Braille to print. And since the 7th ICEB General Assembly in 2020, we've got 8 candidates who have passed that examination. Not as many as we'd hoped, but it's great that, you know, we still do it. As I say, there were lower numbers, as we couldn't run the test in 2020 because of the postage limitations, which you'll remember very well. Now briefly to some organisational information. So Vision Australia is Australia's largest agency servicing clients who are blind or have low vision, and we have offices in most states. So in the last 4 years, Vision Australia has purchased a UV printer and a laser cutter, and I talked a bit about this at the midterm. And I should have brought some of the materials with me, and I completely forgot, which is terrible. Anyway, so it's created, though, a wonderful new service offering for our clients. and so we did show them online in 2022, which is of absolutely no help at all to touch readers. So the quality of the tactile images and the options add raised lines and textures to almost any surface. And enabled our clients to experience a new world of accessibility. So stuff like photos. My partner and I went to SeaWorld a couple of years ago and had photos of ourselves with the dolphins. Someone else had their wedding photo done. You know, it's just so cool to be able to actually have your hands on this stuff. In library news, as of 2024 this year, as of February 2024, the library holds in its catalogue 7,076 Braille titles, 764 print Braille titles, and 5,722 music Braille titles, when 1,039 Felix kits. Felix is a library for young Braille readers, and it includes Braille books, toys, you know, little things to encourage sighted kids reading to blind children, or blind parents reading to sighted kids, or blind parents reading to blind kids, whatever, you know, it's a cool little kits. So in total there are 13,564 Braille titles in the collection, which is pretty cool. 99% of our children's and adult collections are now in UEB. The Lego Braille collection is now sort of expanding with 85 kits available for loan, and is popular for our young members. Vision Australia also has a couple of commercially available books that are in Braille and can be purchased by the general public, which is pretty exciting. Skipping through this because I know this is taking a long time. The Statewide Vision Resource Centre is an education service. We have the Aussie Dots program, which some of you will be familiar with, and that's Swimming Along program for younger readers, with recent sales to two very satisfied customers in Canada, which is pretty cool. We're happy about. That resource is downloadable from the Statewide Vision Resource Centre website, and all that stuff's in my report. Recent other projects include collections of books featuring Australian First Nations people for primary and secondary school students, artworks, and sexual health stuff, and where we also are considering setting timelines, they say, for transcription requests for schools, particularly end of year requests, to relieve the pressure on transcription teams and encouraging schools to take greater responsibility for ensuring that their students have the resources to begin the new school year. And we're interested in finding out if this is something other countries have considered, setting timelines. So the New South Wales Department of Education, that has more than 800 students who are blind or have low vision. They're enrolled in New South Wales public schools. Of particular note are the inclusive scholarships. We offer a master's degree in specialisation in the area of education of students who are blind or have low vision. And now moving to Next Sense. So since the launch of UEB Online, the website, the first training program at the Roundtable conference in May 2014, more than 23,000 people have registered for UEB Online, and you'll hear more about that later in the week with Josie and Francis talking about that, so I'll leave that for that time. We also have UEB competency exams now, so although we have the proficiency certificate, we have competency examinations that are online that you can complete to test for code knowledge. Skip. Sorry. Braille House is also another organisation in Australia. They're a voluntary organisation and of people specialising in tactile literacy to all states of Australia, and they recently celebrated their 126th birthday. They also run a competition annually for adults and children. So the Queensland Department of Education Statewide Vision Resource Centre have just recently developed a learning progression developed by a blind person who did quite a lot of research, Christine Casey, some of you will know that name. So it's for guidance for teachers who improve the Braille literacy standards in Queensland schools. So the Braille product was established in 2020, realising that with the right support, every student who uses Braille can succeed. Queensland Braille songs, so they have also developed this quite a unique way of teaching Braille using 26 letters of the alphabet and also some contractions. So every letter, or every dot rather, has a pitch. So you'll have the six dots, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, there you go. So that's kind of how that works. So you can imagine, you know, O would be 1, 3, 5. You know, so that's kind of how the songs are all based. So have a look at those online. I did include the links in my reports. I have fun with those. I certainly do. So the Queensland Braille Music Camp I want to move to now. So in previous country reports, I've described the National Braille Music Camp, which has been in existence for over 30 years, more like 37. But we now have an additional camp. So in July 2021, a new organisation called Dotted Beats presented a proposal to the Variety Children's Club to set up this camp. It includes Braille music, but it also extends far beyond that, and they teach audio workstations like Reaper, they teach dance, they teach the Japanese koto, other stuff going on with that music camp. But it's also for adults and children, which kind of extends that. So in conclusion, it's truly exciting to see how access to Braille is changing and improving in Australia. And with the event of the invention of UV printing, we can now put our hands on photographs that include colour and tactile elements, so you can have the same thing as a sighted person with you and describe it with them. And through the dedicated and passionate colleagues, we've brought awareness of Braille to the streets of Melbourne and Sydney with our bombing in 2022, which is very fun, I must admit. And it will be exciting to be part of the development of the Braille codes in First Nations languages, which is something I didn't touch on. The Australian Braille Authority has a working group with some cultural groups to develop a code, and it's great to see Jen's paper on the agenda about First Nations languages in Canada and other places too. So that sounds like it's a really important issue because it's in the curriculums of our school students as well. So this, alongside increased collaboration with New Zealand and other the Braille authorities internationally, it's really exciting to be part of it, and I look forward to seeing how creatively Braille can be an even bigger part of Australia. So thank you very much. Oh, do we have any questions or comments or anything I've missed from our other Australian delegates and reservers? Is that a resounding no? All right, thank you very much.
Jen, you're up.
Should I do this? I guess I can do this here. Excellent.
You can do whichever you prefer.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I'm a very loud person, so when I have a microphone, it makes me even louder. I notice no one's like disagreeing with me. Okay. all right. So many changes have taken place in the last 4 years, and the world of Braille, of course, as we know, is no exception. In this report, I'm going to provide an overview of Braille Literacy Canada's activities, but also I'm going to also highlight some other events. My name tag is getting in the way right now, sorry. I'm going to highlight some other events that have happened in Canada that have involved other organizations as well since 2020, when we had the 7th General Assembly. So I'm going to start with the Braille Zoomers. I know I've brought this up in previous reports as well. In my report to the midterm of the Executive Committee in 2022, I mentioned that in April of 2020, BLC launched what we were calling the Braille Zoomers program, and it was actually initiated by our very own Natalie Martinello. And basically, it's a monthly virtual get-together for adult and older adult Braille learners. And each session is an informal opportunity to share resources, support, and strategies that could be helpful for adult Braille learners. So there's sort of a general theme each month that we kind of come up with, but the intent is that participants will really just determine the direction of the discussions. And, you know, if we get a lot of questions on a certain topic, for example, then, you know, we'll kind of plan a future Zoomer session on that topic. So, you know, obviously what we want to do is best support these Braille learners on their journey. It's not a program where we teach Braille, but we provide the, you know, mentoring, peer support, tips and tricks. We talk about all kinds of things, anything from slate and stylus to like labeling things around your house, or you know, strategies for, let's say, the symbols that, you know, sometimes people can kind of mix up when they're first learning Braille. We have given some tips and tricks on how to, you know, keep the E and the I straight, all that kind of thing. So after 4 years of this program, it's still going strong, and we've been able to come alongside dozens of Braille learners. And, you know, we're just going to keep going with this, because it even though, you know, we started at a time when many things in the world were on Zoom, but Canada's a pretty big country, and it's a way that we can get people together from all across our nation. And as a result of the Zoomers program, we also launched our Braille Starter Kits. And these are kits that we would, and I'll just sort of stop and say that there are things that we do that are sort of, you know, kind of a while supplies last or while funds, when, you know, providing that funding is available. So we can't always offer these things, but the Braille Starter Kits are kind of just as they sound. They're for people who are just starting out on their Braille learning journey, adults and older adults who are going to, you know, need Braille as their means of literacy. And the starter kits contain, you know, things like Braille flashcards and, you know, some Dymo tape and just a, you know, symbols lists and different things that could be helpful to people as they're getting, you know, as they're getting started with Braille. So, and I've listed a few of those items here. Also a deck of playing cards, and just, you know, a resource list as well. Ways that people can practice their Braille skills. Another thing that I wanted to highlight is World Braille Day, which we celebrate every year. And in the last couple of years, maybe the last three or four, it's been kind of a joint project between Braille Literacy Canada and the Center for Equitable Library Access and NELS, the National Network for Equitable Library Service, and some other organizations as well, the Canadian Council of the Blind, a whole bunch of organizations partner to put on World Braille Day. Has become World Braille Month, which is kind of fun. So especially for us, because January 4th often is, people are still on Christmas holidays, and so sometimes it's hard to, you know, if we just do something on January 4th, sometimes we can miss a lot of people. So each year we've been partnering with these other organizations, and we put on usually one workshop or one Zoom event per week, and we have been doing one in French as well, typically, and so they kind of take place throughout the month of January, just giving us an opportunity to, again, just spread out the fun of World Braille Day into World Braille Month. And so we've done a number of different things. Basically, the workshops have been, some of them have been sort of focused on the education sector. Some of them have been more about technology. We've done a bunch of different things. So when you're, this year actually, the 2024 event included an online writers festival and content creators panel discussion, and there was a presentation by Chancey Fleet from the assistive technology, or sorry, not from the Chancey Fleet, the assistive technology coordinator at the New York Public Library. The Braille Boost gave students an opportunity to practice their Braille skills with a series of games and puzzles that TVIs could download and emboss. And there were a bunch of other things as well. Speaking of access to Braille, our accessible libraries provide a single-use Braille service, which I know some other countries do as well, and I think I've highlighted this before, where the electronic Braille books that are available can be requested in hard copy, and then you basically can keep it or recycle it. Those are sort of the instructions. We are not supposed to give them away, but it makes a lot more, obviously a lot more material available, and especially you might be happy with electronic Braille most of the time, but maybe you have a book that you really would be beneficial to have it in hard copy, and so now it's available. We have again two different library systems that make books available in accessible formats, including Braille, and as well CELA, Center for Equitable Library Access, over the past few months has been adding some of the collection that NLS in the United States has. They have, because of Marrakesh, been able to make some of these titles available in Canada as well, which is very exciting. Just talk quickly about certification. We have not a ton of certifications going on each year, but you know, still people being certified, taking the UEB update and the UEB transcriber course, as well as Braille music and UEB technical. I've included the numbers there. And also, beta testing is underway for the CNIB, Braille Literacy Canada, a UEB proofreading course. And so it will earn successful participants a BLC CNIB letter of proficiency in UEB proofreading. And it, of course, uses as its guide and references all the updated code books and UEB and BANA format guidelines, which Canada has chosen to follow. Finally, I will just touch on a few items of note. BLC has recently updated our accessible signage guidelines to reflect current best practices and legislative changes that have taken place since the guidelines were originally published in 2016. And we, I would have mentioned this in a previous report, but we actually got a lot of guidance from New Zealand and the signage guidelines that you all had produced. And we just made some tweaks mainly to reflect our context and legislation and all those kinds of things. Also, the graphing calculator guidelines for use in UEB have also been updated to bring them in line, well, with UEB. Okay, that was a little bit repetitive. I shouldn't talk off the off the cuff and read at the same time, because I end up, you know, repeating myself a bit. And this is a document that has also been reviewed and approved by BANA and is posted on the BANA website, so that we're being consistent throughout North America, as we like to be, as much as possible. Sometimes we can't do that, but and just on behalf of BLC in particular, we'd like to thank Bonnie Reed and Michelle Hayes, as well as PRCVI, the Provincial Resource Center for the Visually Impaired in British Columbia, for all their help with this document. Bonnie did a lot of work on the update. Michelle really helped with the review and reviewing the Braille as well, and PRCVI transcribed the updated version for us. So we are very appreciative of the help that they provided. At the time of writing, this was all being coordinated to get it approved and posted, but that is now being done. So it is out there for all of your viewing pleasure. I've also talked about the Brailler Bounce in the past, where we would provide refurbished Perkins Braillers free of charge to individuals across Canada, pending the availability of used Braillers. So we have to have used Braillers available, and we have to have funds to get them refurbished and sent to people. So sometimes the program, unfortunately, gets put on hold when one of those things is not in place. But it was a program that was started by Myra Rodriguez, one of our members, in 2015, and it was kind of like a promotional, like, hey, wouldn't this be a cool thing to try out? And 10 years later, we're still kind of working on that program. So it's really neat. I don't think Myra or any of us had this idea that it would continue on for so long. The Edie Moore Scholarship provides funding for those interested in pursuing training and or certification in any of the Braille codes that are approved for use in Canada. And we've had this this scholarship in place for several years because a former treasurer of our Braille Authority, she died in 2007 and bequeathed some funds to, it was then Canadian Braille Authority, and so what the board at the time decided to do was create a scholarship, and so we have been able to continue that scholarship. The, Edie's bequest has long since gone to support you know, future transcribers and proofreaders and even some TVIs, but we've, through some generous donations, we've been able to continue this program, and we have an endowment set up that we can, so the scholarship sort of is permanently in place because we can use the interest of the endowment to continue to offer the scholarship. So we're very grateful for that. We also have a program to make French print Braille books available to Francophones across Canada. That was launched in 2021. It's kind of a, we had some money in a French Braille code account, that so we wanted to, when that particular project was completed, we still wanted to use the money in some way towards French Braille, and so this was what we had decided to do. And just a couple more things. Thanks to some generous donors, BLC has been able to establish another endowment that will help to ensure that the organization is sustainable for many years to come. So it's we're working on growing those funds as well, being a nonprofit. And, you know, there's definitely no lack of things that we would love to be able to do and programs we'd like to be able to extend. So, and I wanted to highlight the Braille Bites, again, PRCVI, and Daphne actually has been very involved in this. So we've teamed up to, by we, I don't mean me, this I haven't been involved in this, but have teamed up to produce and distribute a series of short, sort of bite-sized videos, and they demonstrate sort of simple activities to help develop literacy skills for young children who are blind or have low vision. They're not pre-Braille skills, they're sort of, you know, to sort of help parents and TVIs to help really young children with tactile learning skills. So is that a good way to describe it? And we do have them on a YouTube channel. If you go to our website, BrailleLiteracyCanada.ca. I didn't put the website in because it was really long and I knew that in the Braille version it just wasn't going to be helpful. So in 2018, the BLC board launched the BLC President's Award, which we give annually to honor Canadians who've made a significant contribution to the field of Braille. My last act as BLC president was to give this award to Darlene Bogart, who was the first recipient, followed by Myra Rodriguez, Phyllis Landon, Kay Holbrook, Bonnie Reed, and Debbie Gillespie. And so I know many of you will know most, if not all, of those names. And then just to touch on something that we probably recently promoted as well is the BLC Annual Braille Symposium. We started this in 2021, and so our fourth one is happening this year. It's an afternoon of world-renowned speakers, followed by, well, our first one, we did a Braille trivia, but we don't do that every year. But these have gone really well, and they've really been informative. They've been a lot of fun, and we've been able to, some of you in this room have presented as well, so we're really grateful for all the contributions from around the world. And you know, we invite you to check out our website if you're interested in attending this year. It's on June 14th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Am I? I'm not lying? Okay, good. Okay, I didn't write that down in my notes because I had confidence in myself that I would remember. Finally, BLC's AGM for 2024 will be held on Saturday, June 8th. So that is coming up. So if you happen to want more information about Canada's Braille Authority, BrailleLiteracyCanada.ca, or you can write to info@blc-lbc for Literatie Braille Canada.ca. So So I just wanted to conclude by saying that it has been an honor to serve as Canada's representative to the ICEB Executive Committee for the last 8 years. I've thoroughly enjoyed being a part of this organization, and I look forward to seeing all that ICEB will accomplish in the coming years. Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions? And I submitted this on Leap Day. That's kind of fun. It sounds like no, but if anything comes to mind, you know where to find me. Thank you.
It is something like 2 o'clock in the morning in Ireland, so I don't know if we've got Ilka. Clive, do we have Ilka? We do. Oh, Ilka.
That's impressive.
Wake up.
Judy, it's 3:05, and I don't know how many cups of coffee I've had today, so... I also, just before I'm starting, just to say, I found out yesterday at my peril that our work laptop seemed to be updated every night at 3:30. So should I disappear suddenly, I will be back 2 or 3 minutes later. All right. The Irish report is divided into a few different sections, so I'll report on most of them now. As an overview, the Braille space in Ireland can be described as thriving at the moment, with a very noticeable move to electronic Braille consumption. This was accelerated by the pandemic over the last 4 years. By the autumn of this year, 2024, INBAF will be a member of ICB for 12 years, which means that we joined only a few months after our official establishment in May 2012. And I always think this might be encouraging for other countries who are in the process of setting up an authority to look at joining as early as possible. The same three Braille producing organizations who came together to found our Braille Authority are still maintaining its momentum and advocating for Braille literacy. Now, we had a lot of name changes and rebranding. So the first organization is still Child Vision with its reading service, not called National Braille Production anymore. The second one is Vision Ireland, formerly NCBI, with its library access service, formerly the Media Center. And the third organization was Aberhill Prison with its unique Braille unit within the Irish Prison Service. As also previously reported, 4 major organizations are working in the field of vision impairment in Ireland, the 3 that I mentioned, as well as Fighting Blindness and Irish Guide Dogs. While each of them have their own core client group and research interests, these might overlap at times. The organizations have joined forces by working together as VISPA, the Visually Impaired Service Providers Alliance, to give added weight to VI issues in Ireland. Now, to the Braille provision over the last 4 years, local government agencies and government departments, as well as student support services at universities, produce some Braille documents on demand and are linking in with the founding members of INBAF. The Braille services at Vision Ireland sent me a report that focuses still quite a bit on the pandemic in the first paragraph there, so please bear with me. The Library Access Service at Vision Ireland supported the Health Service Executive during the COVID pandemic by providing frequent updates to COVID vaccination information leaflets in Braille, audio, and large print. The leaflets were updated frequently, and the turnaround for the production of these leaflets in accessible formats were usually completed by the accessible production units within 24 hours. The need for up-to-date information during the pandemic emphasized the importance of Braille as a means of communicating vital information to our reader audience. The Access Service also continues to support pharmaceutical companies in Ireland in the creation and production of Braille labels for pharmaceutical packaging. The accessible production units within the Library Access Service continue to support government departments and private companies in the production of accessible information in Braille and audio. The Library Access Service developed the Bookshare.ie platform, which holds over 1.3 million books in a variety of accessible formats, including BRF. In addition to the digital books, the library service holds over 8,000 hard copy Braille books that are lent out from our location in Dublin via the free post for the blind service. To the educational Braille services at Child Vision, reading services at Child Vision transcribe educational material covering all primary and secondary school subjects for all children with visual impairment in Ireland into both hard copy and electronic Braille. We have our own download facility for the Braille files. The 3D printing facilities support that service, and the 3D area has really grown, and we have a few colleagues now who start to invent and come up with interesting representations together with the visiting teachers as well. The Children's Library in Child Vision also supports the range of services featuring a large variety of children's and young adult literature in different formats. During the first part of the pandemic, Child Vision continued to provide educational and library services to children and young adults with visual impairment and or multiple disabilities all over Ireland. And we very quickly were allowed to reopen as a specialist provider after that. Child Vision's Braille transcription and production figures increased during both long lockdowns, which meant that the provision with hard copy educational material was well advanced for the respective reopening of schools. It was really one positive effect that colleagues were ahead for once. And the mentioning of timetabling or putting timeframes on educational books is something Catherine, for instance, would be very familiar with because she has exactly the same problem. Regular children's Braille events were also held by reading services, the biggest of which is Braille Reading Day. At this event, students from all over the country come to the campus in Drumcondra, Dublin, read some Braille with their peers and have lots of fun. Students then get feedback on their reading from VIP guests, usually authors of children's books. They can also enjoy sensory story in the library and do some arts and crafts. Last year, we held this event in March, the first in-person Braille Reading Day since 2019. This event has been running for nearly 20 years now and is the highlight of the year for students and transcribers. Reading services have continued to grow the relationship with Libraries Ireland, especially the Fingal Library Service. Last May, they took part in the Cruinniú an Óg, a day of free creativity for children, which was held in Millennium Park in Blanchardstown. It's an event that is unique to Ireland and is the flagship initiative of the Creative Ireland Programme's Creative Youth Plan, which aims to enable the creative potential of children and young people. And the Taoiseach, so the Chancellor or President of Chancellor, more than President of Ireland, if you want, actually came to that stand, which was a really nice way of raising the profile of Braille. For the first time, reading services took part in the Fingal Festival of Children's Literature on a beautiful sunny day in September 23 in Swords Castle. Reading services had their full Braille and book display and had a great amount of visitors who learned all about Braille and experienced their sensory tables. In the early education space, reading services also participated in the Towers and Tales Book Festival in Lismore Castle for the last 5 years, hosting sensory stories to an enthusiastic audience and reading multisensory stories. Don't think we only hold events in castles. There are also other areas. It just happened that they're both here in a row. Tactile books can provide a gateway to Braille and are an avenue by which students learn to use their fingers for sensory processing and exploration. Reading services have operated a tactile book project with secondary schools around the country for the last 15 years. In this project, reading services teach students about tactile books, and it concludes with a presentation to us of a new set of tactile books for the library that they have made throughout the school year. It was a great pleasure to be back in the classroom teaching students all about these books and how they benefit library users and their families. Child Vision showcases many different types of tactile books and offers guidance in how to style and design a book. And finally, the Braille services as Arbour Hill Prison. The Braille unit at Arbour Hill Prison transcribes commercial Braille for government agencies and other organizations. It also provides the only fully qualified Perkins repair service for Perkins Braillers in the country. The cooperation and professional knowledge exchange continues between the Braille unit and the other co-founders of INBAF, which strengthens each member's production quality and quantity. Arbour Hill was heavily affected by staff shortages due to the COVID-19 lockdowns, which translated into some closures and less Braille production. To state examinations, instead of the traditional state examinations for secondary schools, a calculated grade system was introduced for the classes of 2020 and 2021. While no exam Braille transcription took place in 2020, limited transcriptions were sought in 21, and the full transcription and examination timetables returned in 2022. This highly confidential and high-pressure transcription work is done by two specialist Braille transcribers appointed by the State Examinations Commission. Both have strong links with INBAF through committees and educational work. In terms of Braille technology, INBAF continues to see interesting trends in how digital Braille is being accessed in education, in the workplace, and at home. One of the positive spin-offs of the COVID-19 pandemic has been a greater awareness of this digital Braille technology by parents and guardians, and how they can be supported to work alongside students to maximize its use. INBAF has worked alongside providers of refreshable Braille technology in the Irish market to ensure that modification to Braille codes, especially Irish, are integrated in a timely manner into relevant access technologies. We have been keeping abreast of developments in the multi-line Braille space as well, and we see huge potential in this emerging technology in the years to come. Quality assurance. Until 2022, Child Vision offered a Learn Braille course for mostly sighted learners, which was based on the UEB updated Birmingham Braille course material. During the pandemic, the course was moved to online learning based on webinars and material worked through on a Moodle platform. Some of the hybrid shape of the course is being maintained, and there are plans to offer a similar course again this year. INBAF continues to provide the quality assurance for this course, as well as Vision Island's Pharma Braille course. As reported previously, all medicinal packages sold in Ireland have to display the name of the product in Braille. This was due to the EU Council Directive from 2004. In 2008, the Vision Island Library and Media Centre commenced training delegates from pharmaceutical companies on the production of Braille Grade 1 for packaging and different medicines. And we have seen all kinds of weird labeling before that. So it was a real step forward when Vision Island stepped into that space. In terms of other work from INBAF, due to the pandemic, our committee meetings and offers moved online and have still largely stayed so since. This had an impact on possible events, and we are only slowly returning to some in-person meetings. An update on UIB. Irish Braille. The Irish Braille subcommittee met in 2023 to agree bridging contractions and the latest iteration of the updated Irish Braille code for Le Bluey. Finalizing of the latest decisions will take place this year. This was in response to requirements both from the educational and the assistive technology side. The bulk of the work for this committee is therefore nearly concluded, and the group will now continue to monitor the use of UIB. And it's really, really nice to be at that place, because we reported in 2016 all about the creation of the code. And 8 years later, it has been fully integrated into the whole education system, is used all across Ireland, and we're moving to the evaluation stage. The MathSpray working group has not really convened much, and our latest publication is still the 2017 resource on the use of maths in the Irish school system. Our Perkins Loan Scheme, launched in 2017, continues to be successful, albeit small undertaking. So contrary to Canada, we have a lot of Perkins available, and the demand is modest, differs a little bit over the year, but overall we could expect a little bit more demand. Unwanted Perkins Braillers are collected through INBAF and its members and maintained and repaired by the Arbor Hill Prison Unit. Then they're being sent out free of charge to whoever might need them, whether it is for educational or recreational use. Over the last few years, students transitioning to Braille were the largest group of users. In terms of online work, INBAF member organizations and the Irish branch of Sight and Sound, led by Stuart Lawler, collaborated during the pandemic to bring Braille displays and related technology to the end users as much as was possible with COVID restrictions. The cooperation with Child Vision has continued, and regular events with Sight and Sound are offered within Child Vision's event and professional development calendar. Through INBAF's chairperson's other role as a member of the board of the Braillist Foundation in the UK, so that's me, the link between the Braille scene in the UK and in Ireland continues to mutual benefit. INBAF committee members also cooperate with UCAF and RNIB where appropriate. The Braillists continue to reinvent the online provision of Braille-related information and have attracted an ever-increasing global audience. INBAF recently met with the Irish Disabled Persons Organisation, the DPO, for the interests of people with visual impairment, VVI, that stands for Voice of Vision Impairment, to discuss quite differing opinions in relation to the use of UEB in private and public life. We would be very happy to hear from other members in relation to the establishment of DPOs in their countries and possible cooperations with Braille authorities. And Jonathan's keynote this morning for me put the whole issue really into perspective in terms of mentioning the UNCRPD and the right to literacy. And this is something INBAF would be very strong on, to defend the right of literacy, whereas some voices of VVI are considering the use of SEB as a human right. So you can imagine there is quite a huge difference in attitude. And I think that's all I want to say about this at the moment. Before I finish, just to mention that VISPA hosted the 13th International Low Vision Conference by the International Society for Low Vision Research and Rehabilitation, ISLA, in person in July 2022. And some people on this call attended at the time. It gave us a good platform to look at Braille-related research presentations and helped to establish links between Irish and other participants' organizations in the field. The involvement with and membership of ICB has been instrumental in bringing INBAF's role within the Irish Braille space to the forefront. We are very grateful to all colleagues for the international cooperation and look forward to another 4 years of great initiatives, ideas, and social media presence with Stuart now. And in terms of the 200th birthday of Louis Braille, at the moment, we don't have concrete plans, but due to the pandemic, we never really got to celebrate INBAF's 10th anniversary. So we'll be 12 this year, 13 next year. So we hope to roll one into the other and raise the profile of Braille in Ireland. And finally, and I said it to the outgoing exec yesterday as well, I have served on the exec of ICB for the last 12 years, which has been a tremendous time. Really great impulse for the Braille scene in Ireland. I'm very grateful for that. And I look forward to hear from Stuart how the next 4 years will be. Thanks a million. And if there are any questions, I'm very happy to answer them.
Any questions for Ilka? Kim Barber has her hand up.
I do, thank you. I was wondering how I was going to be noticed. So Kim from Australia, I was just going back in about your 3D designs, and you may or may not know if they are available on a public site, those newly developed 3D designs for students.
We haven't put them on a public site, but if you email me and ask, I can pass it on to Catherine, who will be on the call, and the GA at later sessions as well, who is in charge of reading services and the 3D printing at the moment.
Thank you.
Jordy? Yes.
I'm very excited about the Braille on medicines. My partner and I went to the UK and Ireland in January, and I had to go to the pharmacy because I kept getting colds. There seems to be a thing about that with me. And so every bit of medication that I got had Braille on it. So how do you think we can have this happen in other countries? I think Australia tried to do this several years ago, but that never happened. But I would love to see that more universally available.
I mean, I'm not the expert, that's the colleagues from Vision Ireland, but it is on foot of an EU directive. So whenever there is a directive, the member countries then have a certain number of months to write it into national law. So it's a kind of two-step process. But the standards are international standards. So, you know, whoever in Australia is responsible, those directives are publicly available. And if you like, Jordy, I can email you the exact number so that can be looked up. Maybe
thank
that's
you.
Of any help.
That would be great. Yeah. Thank you.
Jen, okay.
James, it's Jordy.
Hang on a second,
sorry.
James. Okay. Well, James is going to respond to something Jordy said.
Go ahead.
Okay, James, go ahead.
There's a website, pharmabraille.org, which has all the details as well. P-H-A-R.
Okay, Jen.
Yeah, it's probably good that James went first. I was just going to say the Canadian delegation has been communicating, and we are all super impressed with ILCA because none of us thinks that we would be that coherent to 3 in the morning. So.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? All right, thank you very much, Ilka.
Thank you.
All right, New Zealand.
Mike one, yep. If you're awake, you'll have worked out that I'm not Maria Stevens. Maria has asked me, though, to present New Zealand's country report. I was only given it about half an hour ago, and I've been running my hand over all the headings and stuff. Thank goodness it's well formatted. So bear with me, I will do my best to go through the highlights from New Zealand Aotearoa over the last few years. So I think we'll start with Banzat trustees. The 11 trustees are drawn from a wide range of teachers, producers and users of Braille, and Banzat trustees represent Blind and Low Vision Education Network, Blind Citizens, Blind Low Vision, the service provider, Kapo Māori, Aotearoa, and Parents of Vision Impaired NZ. So quite a wide range of organisations are involved with the running and administration of Banzat. So setting standards and staying up to date, and really we'd like to thank ICEB for providing us with that platform of staying up to date. We enjoy contributing and learning from various Braille developments overseas in Unified English Braille, and are on many of the committees and subcommittees of ICEB, and we've implemented all ICEB UEB rules and amendments. Accreditation practitioners involved in Braille production. As our colleagues from across the ditch have said, that we jointly administer the Trans-Tasman Certificate in Unified English Braille, taking it turnabout to set to set that exam, and we look forward to continuing on that work in collaboration with our Australian colleagues. There has been some discussions about, you know, with the advent of other kind of online courses? Would we still look at continuing the Trans-Tasman? And both organisations have decided that we would like still to do that because we think it sets a particular standard of Braille. BANZAP Braille transcription course. For a number of years, we've been looking to get funding to try and widen the pool of quality Braille transcribers in New Zealand. And we actually got some funding last year from the Lotteries Charity Board. And in February this year, we ran a Braille transcription weekend for six would-be Braille transcribers with a Braille, with the key tutor of the course being a touch reader of Braille. And the weekend was spent formatting all sorts of unformatted documents to put them into into Braille properly. But as well as that weekend, there is an ongoing network of Braille masterclasses for that group, of discussions of particular topics on Zoom, which will go on to the end of the year. And we look forward to seeing kind of where this course might go, where some of the would-be transcribers will pick up in New Zealand and take on board some of the real need for producing more Braille. We've got the Massey University course. Now, Massey University is the only organisation in Aotearoa, New Zealand, that provides qualifications for blind teachers, postgrads, and so on, working in the teaching and some areas of O&M in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And Braille is a part of that course, continues to be a part of that course, which is great. And the number of students who are going for that course appears to be going from up and up. So we have on our, as one of our trustees, the person who coordinates, runs, I don't know, she works very hard on it anyway, on that course. I have to say that because she's sitting next to me. we have an involvement there just to ensure that our young people get tuition and support in the best Braille they can. Promotion of, I skipped a heading? I've been very good to try and watch these headings, given, as I say, how recently I got this. Okay. Promotion of Braille. Jonathan, in his keynote this morning, mentioned the capitalisation of Braille. We are very proud in Aotearoa here that we took that on. We're proud to have adopted this practice, giving honour and respect to the young man who 200 years ago invented and gave his name to the code that has changed the course of literacy for blind people throughout the world. And we will continue to do that. We've put out notice to publishers and so on in New Zealand to try and get them to adopt that capitalisation. Some Braille production has changed recently in the last 6-8 months, I think, really. Blind Low Vision, the main service provider here, used to produce the Braille for and other accessible formats, actually, for education of school children and young people. And that has now changed. Blends, the Low Vision Education Network, now has its own transcription service. And so there's been a wee bit of work over the last while to ensure that that transition was as smooth as possible. And BANZAT has kind of kept an eye and provided support to ensure that that transition happens in a way that hasn't been detrimental to any of our young people who needed Braille. And talking about young people, In 2022, we changed from running an annual Braille competition to having a Braille challenge. And I think the Braille challenge has been a real success. I mean, you know, we have 50-odd students have done it each year, and they set challenges that are for them. But the thing that I love about it most is that adults get to be mentors in a few Zoom sessions and read stories to the kids. And, you know, I happened to meet some of the kids at something recently. Said, oh, you read us that story online. And so it's great that that touch readers of Braille are kind of, acting as kind of mentors and just showing how adults use Braille and that and how much we need it. The strategic framework for the provision of Braille services. So in 2018, Blind Citizens set up a strategic framework for the provision of Braille, which BANZA are part of, and Blind Low Vision. An annual discussion allows Blind Citizens NZ to keep up with developments, in particular at Blends and Blind Low Vision, the primary teachers and producers of Braille. Blind Citizens also have very recently set up a special interest Braille group. It's mostly adult touch readers and some people learning Braille. Many will know that Blind Citizens is our oldest disability consumer group, and so it's providing, or going to provide, we hope, a vehicle for adults to advocate for Braille and to push for as much Braille as we can get, really. So we look forward to working with that new group. We've also had a bit of a change, I think, spurred on by COVID, of all government documents in Braille. So during COVID, the government moved pretty quickly to make sure there was information in all sorts of accessible formats. And that has continued post-COVID. And work has continued, and documents in Braille have been funded by several government ministries. And these documents, a wide range, include information about the launch and development of FICAHA, the Ministry of Disabled People, the National Cervical Screening Programme, guidance for trustees serving on school boards, and we're now even getting some local authorities, putting out election material in local libraries in Braille. The Adult Braille Library, Aotearoa New Zealand, has joined the Marrakesh Treaty and has obviously agreed to share books there, and BANZAT are monitoring that. Where am I now? Braille music in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Braille music is going from strength to strength for both children and adult learners. There's exciting initiatives being developed. The Popular Music School programme, run by Blends, supports learners who study music using Braille, and that's you know, whole across the gamut of instruments and singing and so on. Under Braille music, we've also got some stuff here about the Wesling Awards, but I'm not going to talk about that because I know it's on the agenda later in this conference, but suffice to say that's another development within Braille music here. Another new organisation, the Tactile and Technology Literacy Centre. So in 2022, a new Braille teaching and production social enterprise was formed by three members of the blindness community. For its first project, TTLC received a generous grant from our Department of Culture and Heritage. And we really look forward to see where this kind of issues in Braille teaching development and technology kind of will go away. It's very exciting. BANZAT celebrated its 10th anniversary on the 17th of October 2020, The event was hosted by Blends, and the entertainment was with some musicians who read Braille. So that's violin, viola, and flute players performed and sang all their parts, having been learned from scores written using in Braille music. The teacher was Chantel Griffiths, who was then a Braille instructor at BLVNZ, and she provided. She was instrumental in teaching these adult learners to read Braille music, and it's not something that had really happened with adults in New Zealand before. Banzac website and social media. Skip over that, really. It happens. The website's there if you want to find it. You know, www.banzac.org.nz, and our web. And you've also got the URL for our Facebook page. But again, if you search for Banzac, I think in terms of Facebook, just very quickly, I just think it's quite interesting that a page set up about Braille and Braille standards gets more likes on videos than if a post doesn't have a video. Maybe it's just me that finds that amusing. Looking ahead, we've adopted a 3-year strategic plan. We renewed it in June 2024. One goal is to work with the organisation of Indigenous blind Aotearoa New Zealanders, Kapo Māori, Aotearoa, to look into whether a grade 2 Braille code should be developed for Te Reo Māori, which is one of Aotearoa's 3 official languages. I know, again, it's coming up later on the agenda, but I have been asked to mention in memoriam that we would like to remember Julian Lee, who was born in Dunedin, New Zealand, and was huge in the musical world here and had an influence in the States and in Australia. And I'm sure more will be said when we have the kind of in memoriam bit later. So in conclusion, I, being Maria here, acknowledges Banzac trustees and the organisations they represent for their ongoing dedication and support for all things Braille, and for assisting me, her, in writing this country report. Cheers.
Any questions for Maria?
It's all in the timing. Oh, Maria is back actually now, so she can answer some if you've got any.
Any questions? No? All right. I don't want to cut South Africa short, so I think we will take a break early. And can we do that, Maria?
Can I have number one?
It's
four.
On.
Oh, sorry. Sorry?
Well, it'll be along soon, I suspect. Yes.
It's starting to be there.
A couple of things.
Yes.
Firstly, if people are interested in the tour to the museum, the Maritime Museum, on Tuesday afternoon at 3, or 3:15, can they let me know by tomorrow lunchtime so that we can plan the transport for you all? The question has been asked about people walking there, but it's preferable that everybody leaves here and gets there at the same time for the people who are taking the tour, the tour guides. So people can come and see me if they want to put their names down, and then we can sort the transport for Tuesday afternoon. My apologies for not sharing with you the morning tea and the lunch menus, oversight, and the food will always be served. I'm facing the front, so if I turn around, at the back on the right-hand side, that's where the food will be and the drinks, same as last night. And for this afternoon, we have veggie sticks with hummus for afternoon tea. So you'll hear me tomorrow telling you about morning tea, lunch and afternoon tea, just before they come. Thank you.
Good. right. So I tell you what, why don't we break now and we will reconvene at 3:15. Thank you.